Okay, so we're going to chant Jaya Radhamadava for all of you fans. Jaya Radhamadava Kunja Bihati Jaya Radhamadhuva Kunja Bihati Gopi Janal Malabar Kiri Barad Ahati Gopi Jana Malabar Kiri Barad Ahati Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhova Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janal Malabar Giri Bharat Haati Gopi Janal Malabar Giri Bharat Haati Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Hurad O Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Also Teda Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrind ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha, Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath, Saim Kund Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavanam ki jai, Maturidam ki jai, Jagannatha Swami ki jai, Yamunamari ki jai, Shrimati Dulasi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gajai, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya. Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pajari Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shikaraveda Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master's divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Okay, so before going on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, just like to show you a very nice dance that was done this morning, just the English portion of the dance. It's just a 1 minute thing. Don't worry. It's by my favorite dancer, Champa Galata. So hopefully this will allow me to share it and play it for you. Let us see. Oh, yeah. I think I have to use a different player for this to work. Yep. Just give me 1 second. I have to adjust this. For those of you who don't go on Facebook, let's see. Give me 1 second. Okay. VLC. Okay. Got it. All right. I think we can do it now. This may not work. Share screen. Yeah, there we go. And share computer sound. There we go. All right. Whoops, what happened with the sound? Oh, let's start at the beginning again.
In good fortune or fortune or
wait, wait.
Family, whatever may be your mind, I have surrendered at your lotus feet. Oh, ye.
Start again.
Mind, body, and family, whatever may be your mind, I have surrendered at your lotus feet. Oh, youthful son of Nanda, in good fortune or in bad, in life or in death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing those feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish. For you are my master, and I am your eternal servant. If it is your will that I be born again, then may be in the home of your devotee. May I be born again even as a worm, so long as I remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born even as many-headed Lord Brahma, if averse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are my everything. Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, hear me, O Kana Krishna. O Lord of Radha, you are my life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai.
All right. Oh, I was supposed to up to my screen share. I think it's my internet. Up to my screen sharing. How do I optimize screen sharing? Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I see how to do it. I see how to do it. All right, next time we'll try to show a little. I'll select that next time, and we'll try to do it right next time. We'll try to show you one video every day, just to get everybody in the right mood. Okay, so now we'll go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, so it's important to get in the mood of these different Vaishnava songs when you sing them and when you think of them, and actually just seeing them acted out and with all the different mudras and let's say postures, it really helps bring the mood of Narottama Das Thakur's song to one's heart. Okay. So thank you, Champaka. So, okay, so let's go to sharing the screen for, whoops, for the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're in the first chapter, Adi Lila, chapter 1. And we are on text 60, the next text. And the reason that I stopped maybe a little earlier yesterday was so that I could spend more time on this text, because this text is one of one of the four nutshell verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's one of the really nutshell Bhagavatam upon which you can meditate for a very long time because it contains internet connection. So if the internet connection goes out, someone just send me a message because it's done that a lot today. So this is a particular verse that you can meditate on that really tells you how to invest in devotional service and what to expect in devotional service and the different stages of devotional service. I mean, it's really, everything's packed into this one verse spoken by Lord Kapiladeva in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is quoting this particular verse. So I will read it. Sitam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti vritkarna rasayana kataha tajoshanara svapa varga vartmani shadara thira bhaktir anukramishyati. And translation is, the spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed. Let me just put one. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in a society of devotees, and it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens, and gradually one attains firm faith that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. It's really analyze this verse, Satam Prasangam Mama Virya Sampado, that Satam, in the association of these saints or devotees, Prasangam means very powerful association. Sangha means association. Prasanga means like really deep. Prasangam, Mama Virya. Mama Virya means my heroic. Virya means heroic. Mama means my, it's a possessive. Samvada talks. Mama Virya Samvada. Bhavanti and in this way, it becomes from the ear to the heart. The transcendental sound enters into the ear and penetrates the heart. Rasayana katha. It is talks that are greatly pleasing because, like, a rasayana is like a something that's medicinal, but also very greatly pleasing. Tadyoshanadashu apavargavartmani. And in this way, one proceeds on the path of liberation. The path of material entanglement is called pavarga, and apavarga means the opposite. Pa actually is broken out by the acharyas as pama, parishrama, vaya, mrityu means hard work, foaming at the mouth, basically, ultimately, death, vaya, fear, which really characterizes or summarizes what we experience in this material world. So anyways, upavarga is the opposite. Upavarga vartmani, vartmani means path. So one proceeds on the path of Krishna consciousness, and then what happens? Shraddha, one gets faith. And after you get faith and you execute devotional service, of course, utilizing that faith or being fixed in that faith, one becomes shradhratir, one gets a taste for hearing and chanting, a taste for serving the devotees, a taste for loving Krishna, satam prasanga, shradhratir bhakti, and ultimately one gets love. So that's what's being described here. So this is our whole process of devotional service and the secret of advancing. So Prabhupada explains this verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, 25th chapter, text 25, where Lord Kapiladeva replies to the questions of his mother, Devahuti, about the process of devotional service. As one advances in devotional service, the process becomes progressively clearer and more encouraging. Unless one gets this spiritual encouragement by following the instructions of the spiritual master, it is not possible to make advancement. Therefore, one's development of a taste for executing these instructions is the test of one's devotional service. Wow. A taste for executing these instructions. Wow. Is the test of one's devotional service. Initially, one must develop confidence by hearing the science of devotion from a qualified spiritual master. Then, as he associates with devotees and tries to adopt the means instructed by the spiritual master in his own life, his misgivings and other obstacles are vanquished by his execution of devotional service. And of course, those misgivings are called anarthas, or also lack of faith, which is connected with the anarthas. Anarthas are things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, wonderful things that we all are attached to. And then strong attachment for the transcendental service of the Lord, that's ashakti, develops as he continues listening to the messages of Godhead. And if he steadfastly proceeds in this way, he is certainly elevated to spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the essence of this is to associate with the devotees who are advanced in devotional service and hear from these devotees, and that sound vibration changes your heart. Okay. Text 61, very important verse. Ishvara Surupa Bhakta Tanra Adishtan Bhaktira Urade Krishnera Satata Vishram. Now, one thing you'll notice is at the end of the line, I do not pronounce the A. This is very important in Bengali. Bhaktira, it's just, in other words, if it wasn't Bengali, well, it is Bengali, it would be Bhaktira Hridaya Krishnara Satata Vishrama. No, it's Bhaktira Hridaya Krishnara Satata Vishrama. But it's Bengali poetry. So, a pure devotee constantly engages in the loving service of the Lord, engaged in the loving service of the Lord, is identical with the Lord who is seated in his heart. And Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second, and therefore he is all-powerful. He has inconceivable energies, of which three are principal. The devotee is considered to be one of these energies, never the energetic. Of course, the three energies are Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta, material energy, spiritual energy, and us, the jiva soul. The energetic is always the Supreme Lord. The energies are related to him for the purpose of eternal service. In the conditioned stage, can uncover his aptitude for serving the absolute truth by the grace of Krishna and the spiritual master. Then the Lord reveals himself within his heart, and he can know that Krishna is seated in the heart of every pure devotee. Krishna is actually situated in the heart of every living entity, but only a devotee can realize this fact. Good. Another important verse from the Bhagavatam. Wow. This is so important, because this shows the Lord's love for his devotees and for everyone, and the devotee's love for Krishna. Another important nutshell verse. Sadhavo hridyam ayam sadhanam hridyam tvaham madanyat tena janapti aham te vyomanagapi. Saints are my heart, and only I am their hearts. They do not know anyone but me, and therefore I do not recognize anyone besides them as mine. So this perfect reciprocation. In other words, saints are in Krishna's heart and Krishna is in the saints' hearts. And because the saints do not know anything else or anyone else other than Krishna, Krishna doesn't know anyone else other than them. I mean, of course, Krishna knows everybody, but as his Krishna takes possession of the devotees. Wow. And the devotee takes possession of Krishna. The devotee belongs to Krishna, and Krishna belongs to the devotee. And of course, that's the principle of the highest aspect of pure devotional service, which is the only means of controlling or attracting Krishna. That's from Nectar Devotion. Purport. This verse appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 4th chapter, text 68, in connection with the misunderstanding between Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish. As a result of this misunderstanding, Durvasa Muni tried to kill the king when the Sudarshan Chakra, the celebrated weapon of Godhead, appeared on the scene for the devoted king's protection. When the Sudarshan Chakra attacked Durvasa Muni, he fled in fear of the weapon and sought shelter from all the great demigods in heaven. Not one of them was able to protect him, and therefore Durvasa Muni prayed to Lord Vishnu for forgiveness. Lord Vishnu advised him, however, that if he wanted forgiveness, he had to get it from Maharaj Ambarish, not from him. In this connection, Lord Vishnu spoke this verse. So, of course, Durvasa Muni is called Durvasa Muni because he has a bad temper. And you have the story of Maharaj Ambarish fasting for 40-some-odd days. He was 41, I forget the exact amount. He was getting ready to break his fast. It was part of the ritual. He had to break his fast, but Durvasa appears on the scene. And then Durvasa goes to take his bath before taking prasadam. And the time for breaking the fast for Maharaj Ambarish is running out. And he understands that if he breaks the fast or if he eats before his guest, it's a great offense. So he asks his Brahmins, and the Brahmins say, you can take a little water, which is simultaneously breaking the fast and not breaking the fast. So he does that. Durvasa Muni gets angry, pulls one of the hairs out of his head, creates a big demon who tries to kill Ambarish Maharaj. And the Sudarshan Chakra comes out and destroys the demon, goes chasing after Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni goes all over, can't escape. Eventually, he's told by Lord Vishnu, go take shelter at the devotee's feet whom you offended. And that was Maharaj Ambarish. And he gets forgiven, and from that point forward, they were good friends. They lived happily ever after. The Lord, being full and free from problems, can wholeheartedly protect all those who have taken shelter at his feet. The same responsibility is also entrusted to the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master's concern is how the devotees who have surrendered to him as a representative of the Lord may make progress in devotional service. It's a heavy burden. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always mindful of the devotees who fully engage in cultivating knowledge, having taken shelter at his lotus feet. And the next verse is also important. Bhagavandira Bhagavata Tirtha Bhutta Swayam Vibho Tirti Puranti Tirtani Swantastena Gadavrita. This is from the Bhagavatam too. Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. Now you notice these particular verses are glorifying the devotees and association with the devotees and the importance of association. Purport. This verse was spoken by Maharaja Yudhisthira the Vidura in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 13th chapter, text 10. Maharaja Yudhisthira was receiving his saintly uncle Vidura, who had been visiting. He told Vidura that pure devotees like him are personified holy places, pause for a second while the internet stabilizes, that pure devotees like him are personified holy places because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always with them in their hearts. By their association, sinful persons are freed from sinful reactions, and therefore, wherever a pure devotee goes is a sacred place of pilgrimage. The importance is due to the presence there of such pure devotees. And any place that the pure devotee resided is considered a sacred place. That's why we preserve many of the places where Prabhupada resided. Okay, next, back to Say Bhakti Dan Haya Dvivida Prakar Panishad Gana Heka Sadaka Gana Ar. Such pure devotees are of two types, personal associates, Parashats, and neophyte devotees, sadhakas. Perfect servitors of the Lord are considered his personal associates, whereas devotees endeavoring to attain perfection are called neophytes. Among the associates, some are attracted by the opulences of the personality of Godhead, and others are attracted by the nuptial love of Godhead. That's a conjugal love. The former devotees are placed in the realm of Vaikuntha to render reverential devotional service, whereas the latter devotees are placed in Vrindavan for the direct service of Sri Krishna. So here, Prabhupada is indicating that everyone in Goloka Vrindavan is assisting in the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada's indirectly indicating that. And it's a fact. Whether you're a blade of grass, whether you're a cow, whether you're a coward boy, whether you're a cloud in the sky, whether you're a fruit tree, whether you're situated in the parental relationship with Krishna, whatever your relationship, it's all meant to assist in Radha Krishna loving affairs. More Bengali. Ishvara avatara hedi itina prakar amsha avatara guna avatar shaktivesha avatara chutiya e mat amsha avatara purusha matshadika yata. There are three categories of incarnations of Godhead: partial incarnations, qualitative incarnations, and empowered incarnations. The Purushas and Matsya are example of partial incarnations. Purusha means the Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu. Okay? And Matsya is a fish incarnation. Okay? It's a partial incarnation. And then, whoops. Ramavishnu Shiva Tin Gunavatare Gan Shakyavesha Sanakari Prithuvyasa Muni. I think the I would pronounce. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are qualitative incarnations. In other words, they deal with the qualities of the modes of nature. Empowered incarnations are those like the Kumaras, King Prithu, and Mahamuni Vyasa, the compiler of the Vedas, and also called Shakta Vesh Avatar. Okay? Pretty easy to understand. Let's just go back a little bit. So the first one was the partial incarnation. We're talking about portions of plenary portions, or plenary portions and portions of plenary portions, or portions of portions and plenary portions. And then the second type were the qualitative, dealing with the qualities of the modes of nature. And then they, we're getting ahead of ourselves. And then, of course, the Shaktivesh avatars. Of course, there are other categories, too, if you really get precise, and we're going to get into that later on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You got the Leela avatars. You got, of course, you mentioned the Guna avatars. You have the Yuga avatars and other types of avatars. Okay. Text 68. Dvirupehai Bhagavanera Prakash Eteta Prakasha Hai Areta Vila. The personality of Godhead exhibits himself in two kinds of forms, Prakash and Vilas. In two primary categories, Prakash forms are manifested by Lord Krishna for his pastimes and their features. Whoop, let the internet catch up to us. And so the Prakash forms are exactly like his. Okay, you got it? When Lord Krishna married 16,000 queens in Dwarka, he did so in 16,000 Prakash expansions. Similarly, during the Rasa dance, he expanded himself in identical Prakash forms to dance beside each and every gopi simultaneously. When the Lord manifests his Vilas expansions, however, they are all somewhat different in their bodily features. Remember that. Prakash is precisely the same. That's how you remember the P. P, Prakash, precisely the same. And vilas means very little different, but different. All right. Anyway, they're just giving you different memorization tools. So his vilas expansions, however, are all somewhat different than their bodily features. Lord Balaram is the first vilas expansion of Lord Krishna, and the four-handed Narayan forms in Vaikuntha expand from Balaram. There's no difference between the bodily forms of Sri Krishna and Balaram, except that their bodily colors are different. Similarly, Sri Narayan of Vaikuntha has four hands, whereas Krishna has only two. The expansions of the Lord who manifest such bodily differences are known as vilasa vigrahas, means vilasa forms. It's pretty easy to understand. So, Prakash and Vilash. So, even though they're different in their appearance, Vilas forms are different in their appearance, still it's the same person, but just looking different. Advaita, Achyuta, Anadir, Ananta, Rupam. Ananta Rupam means unlimited forms, but Advaita, he's one. He's non-dual, basically one, which is the same thing as non. So, still Krishna. I'll tell you a story that illustrates that. Once upon a time in Braj, Krishna wanted to hide from the gopis. And so he thought, the perfect disguise is I will disguise myself as God. Because nobody would think that God and I are the same. So Krishna manifests himself as Narayan forearms. Okay. That's very nice. And so the gopis, they see God. And naturally, they're God conscious, so they offer obeisances to God. Please accept our obeisances, God. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. No. Because they probably didn't know Prabhupada. So they offered their obeisances. And what do they say to God? My dear God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Please show us or tell us where Krishna is. They didn't know that Krishna is the same as Narayan. Aware of, in a few minutes, the best devotee, the best gopi, our Ishtadev, came before Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and Krishna couldn't give the extra two arms. And the arms kept disappearing. He kept trying, let me get my arms back. And they just kept disappearing. And Krishna could not hide from his dear most beloved. And there's a temple at that spot where this particular pastime took place, and right near Govardhan. It's called the Chatur Bhuj Temple, and there's a deity, one of the original deities that was installed by Brajanabha, the great-grandson of Krishna. And he has forearms. Beautiful deity. Beautiful, beautiful deity. And when I showed everybody the Govardhan Parikrama, then I showed that, and we were able to get some pictures of that deity, even though you're not allowed to take pictures of the deity through some tricks, which I can't mention. But we do have some beautiful pictures of those deities. Okay, so remember, Vilas and Prakash. Prakash is the same form, Vilas is a different form. Got it. Okay. So, next verse. Ekai vigraha yari hai bahuru akareta bedanahi ekai swaru maisha vivahe yache yache kaila ras ihake kaye krishnara mukya prakash. Beautiful verse. When the personality of Godhead expands himself in many forms, all non-different in their features, as Lord Krishna did when he married 16,000 queens, and when he performed his rasa dance, such forms of the Lord are called manifested forms. Prakasha vigrahas. Remember, means exactly the same. Vigraha means form. Okay. That's very easy to understand. Hmm. Chitram by tai tai de kena, Wapusha yuga patpatak, Grahesha drishta adriyasta, Sahasram striya eka udavahat. It is astounding that Lord Sri Krishna, who is one without a second, expanded himself into 16,000 similar forms, Prakash, to marry 16,000 queens in their respective homes. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 69th chapter, text 2. Rasotsava sampravritto gopi mandala manditaha yogeshvarena krishnena tatham adye dvayor dvayoho. When Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna, or Lord Krishna, surrounded by groups of coward girls, began the festivities of the Rasa dance, the Lord of all mystic powers placed himself between each two girls. That's Prakash again. This verse is also quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 33rd chapter, text 3. Another Sanskrit verse. Pravishtena grihitanam kante swanikatam sriyaha yam anyeran abastavat vimana shatta sankulam. Devaukasam sadaranam atyokchukya vrtatmanam tatodundubhayo nedhur nipetur pushpa vrishtayaha. When the coward girls of Krishna thus joined together, each girl thought that Krishna was dearly embracing her alone. To behold this wonderful pastime of the lords, the denizens of heaven and their wives, all very dance, flew in the sky in their hundreds of airplanes. They showered flowers and beat sweetly on drums. It's another quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, the 10th canto, 33rd chapter, texts 3 to 4. Anekatra prakatata rupasya ekasya yaikata Saravatata Swarupaiva Saprakasha Ityriyate. Okay. If numerous forms, all equal in their features, are displayed simultaneously, such forms are called Prakasha, Vigrahas of the Lord. Same thing. This is a quote from the Lagu Bhagavatamata 121, compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. Okay. Eka vigraha kintu akaan aneka prakasha haya vilasa taravnam. But when the numerous forms are slightly different from one another, they are called vilas vigrahas. Okay. Another Sanskrit verse. Sarupam manyakaram yatasya bhakti vilasataha prayanatma samam shaktya. When the Lord displays numerous forms with different features by his inconceivable potency, such forms are called vilasa vigrahas. It's another quotation from the Lagu Bhagavatamrita 1.15. So I think you're going to remember these designations after you hear so many examples. Yaiche Baladeva Paravyome Narayan Yatshe Vasudeva Prajunadi Sankushan. It's Bengali. Examples of such Vilasa Vigrahas are Baladev, Narayan, and Vaikuntadam, and the Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. Ishvara Shakti Haya Etina Prakar, Eka Lakshmi Ganapure Mahisha Ganahar. Rajay Gopi Ganahara Savate Pradhan Rajendra Nandana Yate Swayam Bhagavan. The energies, consorts of the Supreme Lord are of three kinds: the Lakshmis and Vaikunthas, the queens in Dwarka, and the gopis in Vrindavan. The gopis are the best of all, for they have the privilege of serving Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord, the son of the king of Braja. Such a wonderful part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. ecstasy. Swayam Rupa Krishnera Kaya Vyoha Tanra Sama Bhakta Sakite Hayatanharavat Avaran. Personal associates of the Supreme Primeval Lord Sri Krishna are his devotees who are identical with him. He is complete with his entourage of devotees. And his devotees are with him. Sri Krishna and his various personal expansions are none different in potential power. These expansions are associated with further secondary expansions or servitor expansions who are called devotees. So we are, in one sense, expansions of Krishna. Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. But also Manashatani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. Okay? Bhakta Adi Kramakaila Savaravandan Esavara Vandana Sarva Shubera Karan. Now I have worshipped all the various levels of devotees. Worshipping them is the source of all good fortune. And Prabhupada says, to offer prayers to the Lord, one should first offer to his devotees and associates. Text 83. Pratama shloke kahi samanya mangala charan Dutiya shloke tikari vishesha vandan. In the first verse, I've invoked a general benediction, but in the second, I have prayed to the Lord in a particular form. Bande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandau Sahoitau Goda Dodhyay Pushpavantau Chitrao Shandao Tamao Nudao. I offer my respect to Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Wow, this is like one of the real nutshell verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Text 85. Brajaye vihara purve Krishna Balaram Koti Surya Chandra Jini Donhara Nijadam Sedvigatere Haya Sudaya Goda Deshe Purva Shaila Karila Udaya. Sri Krishna and Balaram, the personalities of Godhead who formerly appeared in Vrindavan and were millions of times more effulgent than the sun and moon, have arisen over the eastern horizon of Gaudadesh, Bengal, being compassionate for the fallen state of the world. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yanhara Prakashe Sarva Jagata Ananda. The appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda has surcharged the world with happiness. Jai! It's really surcharging. Surya Chandra Hare Yache Sava Andakar Vastu Prakashya Kare Damera Prachar E Matadvi Vai Jiver Akyan Kamonashakari Koyala Tattva Vastudan. As the sun and moon drive away darkness by their appearance and reveal the nature of everything, these two brothers dissipate the darkness of ignorance covering the living beings and enlighten them with knowledge of the absolute truth. Wow. Ajnana Tamera Nama Kahiye Koitav Dharma Artha Kama Moksha Vancha Adishab. The darkness of ignorance is called Kaitava. That means cheating. Just like the Bhagavatam verse, Dharma Kaitava Parama Nirmatsuran Sivarana. Potito Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsuranam Satam. That this Bhagavatam throws away all cheating religion. The way of cheating, which begins with religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. This is all cheating. The four mundane anarthas, religiosity, just normal mundane religiosity, economic development, sense grad, and liberation are all cheating dharmas. And this is the verse that I just made reference to. Dharma Projitakaita Botrao Padamo Nimatsiranam Satam Bejam Bastavimatrabastu Shivadam Tapo Trayon Mulanam Shrimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Pararishvaraha Sadyo Hridyavaru Jate Tra Kriti Bir Sushrushu Bish Takchanat. This Shrimad Bhagavatam, this great scripture, from four original verses, those are the nutshell verses we read in the beginning with the homily, Vasa Mebagre, describes the most elevated and kind-hearted devotees and completely rejects the cheating ways of materially motivated religiosity. Our Father in heaven, give us the day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily Tesla. It propounds the highest principle of eternal religion, which can factually mitigate the threefold miseries of the living being and award the highest benediction of full prosperity and knowledge. Those willing to hear the message of this scripture in a submissive attitude of service can at once capture the Supreme Lord in their hearts. Therefore, there is no need of any scripture other than Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada's purport. This verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 2. The words Mahamuni Krite indicate that Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva. And remember, this word is compiled. Doesn't mean he's the author. He compiles it. That means it was existing previously, and he compiled it in a certain way. Who is sometimes known as Narayana Mahamuni because he is an incarnation of Narayana. But he's Shaktavesh incarnation. He's not Vishnutava, he's Jivatava. Vyasadeva, therefore, is not an ordinary man, but is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He compiled the beautiful Bhagavatam to narrate some of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. In Srimad Bhagavatam, a distinction between real religion and pretentious religion has been clearly made. According to this original and genuine commentation on the Vedanta Sutra, that is the Bhagavatam, there are numerous pretentious faiths that pass as religion but neglect the real essence of religion. The real religion of a living being is his natural inborn quality, whereas pretentious, he's pretending, religion, or this surface religion, is a form of nascent darkness that artificially covers a living entity's pure consciousness under certain unfavorable conditions. Real religion lies dormant when artificial religion dominates from the mental plane, as we see in America. A living being can awake in this dormant religion by hearing with a pure heart. The path of religion prescribed by Srimad Bhagavatam is different from all forms of imperfect religiosity. Religion can be considered in the following three divisions: the path of fruitive work, the path of knowledge and mystic powers, and the path of worship and devotional service. The path of fruitive work, karma kanya, even when decorated by religious ceremonies meant to elevate, like such an Orion Kata, meant to elevate one's material condition, is a cheating process because it can never enable one to gain relief from material existence and achieve the highest goal. A living entity perpetually struggles hard to rid himself of the pangs of material existence, but the path of fruitive work leads to him to either temporary happiness or temporary distress in material existence. By pious fruitive work, one is placed in a position where he can temporarily feel material happiness, whereas vicious activities lead him to a distressful position, a material want and scarcity. However, even if one is put into the most perfect situation of material happiness, he cannot in that way become free from the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. A materially happy person is therefore in need of the eternal relief that mundane religiosity in terms of fruit of work can never reward. Let's see how much further we have in this report. Let's see. Ooh, it's pretty far. Okay. Back. I think we should end here so we can have time for questions. We always like to end at this time and take questions. Okay, we will continue with this purport tomorrow. Stop sharing. and then we will allow you to ask questions in a second. Okay, so does anyone want to ask questions?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
I have a question.
I have a question regarding the Chaturvyuha forms of Krishna, the Vasudeva, Aniruddha.
Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Prajurna, and Aniruddha, yeah.
Yes, can you explain those forms? Because I don't know about them.
Those are simply, let's say, let's talk about Lord Ram. Okay, I think I can explain it better talking about Lord Ram. Lord Ram is actually Vasudeva. There are four different expansions of Krishna. Or let's even talk about Krishna. Yeah, Krishna is the original Vasudeva in the first Chaturvyuha expansion. Not expansion, first Chaturvyuha manifestation. So Krishna, Balaram. Balaram is Sankarshan. And then you have Pradyumna, who is Krishna's son, and Aniruddha, who is Krishna's grandson. And then, as Lord Ram, you have Vasudeva, who appears as Lord Ram, of course, Sankarshan, who is Lakshman, and then you have Pradyumna and Aniruddha, who is Bharata and Shatrughna, you get the idea. So these are different manifestations of the Lord by which the Lord appears. Whenever the Lord appears in this world, he appears with all of these different expansions as well as other expansions. So hope that's clear.
Word
Vasudev means all pervading. Sankarshan means that which ties things together. Prajuna is like Cupid. Anyway, so there are these four different manifestations of the Lord. These are names of four different manifestations of the Lord that appear whenever the Lord appears. And just think of it like Ram, Lakshman, Prajuna, and Aniruddha when you think of that. Okay?
Thank you, Gurudev.
Okay, so who else has a question? I guess we scared off Praneshra after last night. He's definitely not anymore. Let me see, maybe he is. No. Yeah, he is. Oh my God. But I'm sure he's scared to ask any more questions after last night's exchange. So, who else has a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Madhav.
Hare Krishna. Oh, Madhav, good to hear you from you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I just wanted to know that Gopinath, that deity is worship established in Vrindavan in addition to two other three deities.
By Madhu Pandit.
Oh, so that Gopinath was established by Madhu Pandit. Okay.
Yeah, not but the interesting thing is that, let's say you have Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, and Radha Govinda, they were established by the respective acharyas of that particular stage of devotional service. Like you have Radha Govinda, who's established by Rupa Goswami, who's the acharya of Abhideya, and Radha Madan Mohan was established by Sanatana Goswami, who is the acharya of Sambandha. But then you have Gopinath, who is the deity of Prayojana, who was not established by the acharya of Prayojana, which is Raghunath Das Goswami, but was established by Madhu Pandit, another one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
Yes, Maharaj. I was not sure about that. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting. Raghunath Das Goswami found the deities of Radhakund, which are called the Radhakrishna Puran Mandir, Puran deities, Radhakrishna Puran deities. And these deities were found when Raghunath Das Goswami was supervising the excavation of Radhakund. They were actually found in the Kund, I mean in the mud of the Kund, and they're worshipped on the side of Radhakund. I mean, just down an alleyway on the side of Radhakund. Very, very beautiful deities. Actually, if I start talking about Radhakund, I'm going to lament that I can't go there right now. And I won't probably won't be able to go there, you know, in February either. But just pray that I can go sometime in the future to Radhakund, Shyamakund, Giri Govardhan. That's the worst part of this coronavirus, is we can't go to Braj. So, all right, who else has a question? Oh, Shruti Priya, speak louder.
Okay, sorry, can you hear me? Is it better?
I can hear you, but you're really low for everybody.
Okay, I was wondering in like the Chaitanya Nityananda Lila pastimes, if Vrinda Devi also arranges all of the pastimes.
Yes, in Braj she does. But in other places, Vrindadevi expands to arrange for Krishna's pastimes. So that's the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. I mean, of course, Yogamaya in Braj is also Purnamasi. So Purnamasi is like an older lady, and Vrindadevi actually works under her instructions. But outside of Braj, Purnamasi manifests differently to arrange for all of, or Yogamaya arranges for Krishna's pastimes everywhere.
Okay. Thank
Yogamaya. But we are under Mahamaya. And Mahamaya is arranging for all of our and all of our suffering in this material world. So, Vrinda Devi is not arranging for our suffering. So, any other questions? It's interesting. You can always see people driving the car and everything. Lady Kanta's driving a car right now, which is interesting. It's really interesting. The Zoom is so interesting. You can see people going down the road and things going by. And then you see Sumukh walking in the forest with his wife. Loving walk. Anyway, so who else wants to talk or ask a question? No one else. No one. I hear someone. Okay, this is the last opportunity. 10, 9. Okay, Shruti Priya, you're going to ask another question.
Okay, thank you, Shruti Priya. I was wondering, it was the verse that was talking about the different incarnations, like the partial and then the qualitative and then the empowered incarnations. It didn't give an example about an empowered incarnation.
Yes, it did. Srila Vyasadeva.
Remember?
Shaktivesh, okay. I meant Shaktivesh avatar, Vyasadeva's empowered incarnation, Narada Muni's empowered incarnation, Srila Prabhupada's empowered incarnation, Prithu Maharaj's empowered incarnation, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's an empowered incarnation. Any jiva soul who is empowered with a specific potency, not only the potency to preach, but let's say the potency to rule, like Prithu Maharaj has, or even Parashuram is considered to be empowered rather than Vishnu Tattva by some acharyas. So these are different examples of empowered incarnations. In other words, you're given some power by the Lord, either to rule or to do something really amazing, but you're not Vishnu Tattva, you're Jiva Tattva.
And it's all in
what's that?
It's all in his service?
Yes, in Krishna's service. Oh, for sure. It's not that you'd be empowered to be a nonsense. Of course, you could say you're empowered by Maya to forget Krishna. I mean, that you can use that particular statement. Or, you know, you've been blessed by your karma or you're losing your energy to do something. I mean, one sense you could say everyone's empowered. But as far as empowered, considered an empowered incarnation of Krishna, that would be someone who was serving Krishna in a particular capacity, being imbued or given the power to do something. And Prabhupada was empowered to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Prabhupada is a Shaktavesh avatar. Shakta Avesh means he's given the Shakti. Shakti means the potency. And the statement of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is Krishna Shakti Vinana He Tari Pravartana. Without being given the potency of Krishna consciousness, no one can preach Krishna consciousness. So there's some examples of Shaktavesh avatars or empowered incarnations. So, just one other question someone has an opportunity to ask.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Madhav Das again.
Okay, Madhava.
So the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, their leaders also could be considered Shaktivesh avatar?
Yes, oh, for sure. For sure, you would consider Ramanujacharya. Actually, Ramanuja is specifically different because he is Vishnu Tattva. He's by many acharyas, he's considered to be Vishnu Tattva. He's considered to be an incarnation of Lakshman. That's why he's called Ramanuja. But the other personalities are, yes, they'd all be considered Shaktivesh. Like Sripad Madhvacharya is considered to be the brother of Hanuman. Phew. And Bhimsen, too. So, but he's considered Jiva Soul. And Nimbark is also considered Jiva Soul, too. So you really have the acharyas of the different sampradayas. And of course, the four Kumaras are empowered by the Lord's knowledge potency. And you'll find a definition of this in many different places in Srila Prabhupada's books. But the four Kumaras are empowered. Lord Brahma would be considered a Shaktivesh also. He's also Guna Avatar. So he acts sometimes as the Guna Avatar, the qualitative incarnation. And sometimes he acts as the Shaktivesh Avatar because he's a preacher. He's the head of our Sampradaya. So these personalities who can be classified as a particular type of avatar or expansion, it's not that they necessarily are only classified in one class. You know, someone can be a Shaktivesh avatar in the case of Lord Brahma, and also be a Guna avatar. And in the case of the Vishnu Tattva avatars, like you got the Leela avatar, can also be a Yuga avatar. So they're not mutually exclusive terms. One Yuga avatar can also be, like Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar, right? We know that. He's also Leela avatar. Yuga avatar because he teaches the Yuga Dharma. He's Leela avatar because he's doing Leelas. Like that. And so he's Vishnu Tattva. Anyway.
Thank you, Maharaj.
And also, and sometimes the Manvanta avatar can be Vishnu Tattva, and sometimes the Manvanta avatar can be Jiva Tattva. Because sometimes the Manu means there's 14 Manus in each day of Lord Brahma. The Manu can be Jiva Tattva, and if there's no Jiva Tattva guy to fill in, then you have a Vishnu Tattva, one of the expansions of Krishna comes in. So, yeah, they're not mutually exclusive designations of any particular entity. So, hope that's not confusing.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, it's pretty easy to understand.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to end now.
Gurudev.
Anyway, Adi Dev, you have a question? Okay.
So we discussed various forms, right? So can you clarify on the deities, like what kind of forms they are considered, like are they considered
Sakshat Vrajendra Nandana, directly Krishna. Definitely not Shaktivesha avatar. Vishnu Tattva. Krishna's appearance, Sakshat Vrajendra Nandana, depending upon which deities you're talking about.
Say for example, the Vaikuntha form.
The Vaikuntha form, they're Vishnu Tattva deities, obviously, but of Vaikuntha, you know, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, Aniruddha. You know, we have Baladev deities, we have Krishna deities, we have Shakti deities, Radharani, Shakti Tattva.
So they're called Prakash Vigras? Prakash Vigras?
That would be, yeah. Actually, we have deity of Krishna in Vrindavan, which Radha Golokananda, you know, Krishna Golokananda, would be considered like Prakash Vigraha.
Okay.
And Radharani is, but I don't know if those terms are actually used in regard to the deities, but it's directly Krishna. It's not a different form.
Yeah, so like we have, we read example like where Krishna is doing Rasa dance and he expands as Prakash Vigrahas.
Prakash Vigraha. At the same time, for those who are not on the highest level of devotional service, Radha and Krishna appear like Vishnu and Lakshmi. Prabhupada said, we are worshipping Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi and Narayan. It's interesting. Just like when Krishna enters a particular place when he was on the planet, some people saw Krishna as death personified. Some people saw him as the most lovable object, you know, and other people saw him as the most fearful object. So, yayatamam prapajante tamsataiva pajamiham. So it gets a little technical. But Radha and Krishna, yes, that's directly, it's Krishna.
Okay.
I've never heard the deities referred to as Prakash Vigraha, but it's, you know, Archer Vigraha, but it's the same Krishna. I've never heard that term used, but technically it is not different from Krishna and Vrindavan. He is not different than Krishna and Vrindavan. He is Krishna and Vrindavan.
He is Krishna. Okay, thank you.
He's not Krishna in Dwarka. Unless you worship Rukmini Dwarkadish.
Yeah, I'm happy with Radha Krishna.
So you can go to Los Angeles Temple, worship Rukmini Dwarkadish. No, that's Radha and Krishna too, but Prabhupada gave the name Rukmini Dwarkadish. And essentially, Prabhupada would give names sometimes according to the city, like Radha Paras Ishra or Radha.
Yeah, but I heard Gurudev that he did not really give, actually, he just accepted it. I think some other devotee.
Yeah, well, Paras Ishra. I think Prabhupada actually gave that name. He said, Krishna has come to Paris looking for the most beautiful girl.
Oh, Rukmini Dwarkadish I was talking about.
Oh, Rukmini Dwarkadish. I don't know. But I know the Paris one Prabhupada gave.
Hmm.
He said, because Krishna has come to Paris looking for the... Paris has the most beautiful girls, and Krishna has come to Paris looking for the most beautiful girl. That's right. Prabhupada was very humorous. I mean, that is quite a humorous statement. Because Radharani is infinitely more beautiful than any of the so-called beautiful girls in Paris who just have material bodies filled with pus, blood, mucus, and stool. Even the most beautiful Paris model. And actually, they're quite ugly. Anyway, on that happy note, we're going to end class right now.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Gopal said that everyone's afraid to ask me questions because the way I dealt with Praneshra yesterday, I don't think so. Praneshra and I have a special relationship. Don't worry. Everybody's different. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.